Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The complicated legend of Conor McGregor. And now we get the news that he's getting ready to hang him up. Again, we have seen this before. I get the sense it's going to stick this time. What the heck do I know? Ariel Helwani knows everything. ESPN UFC reporter. Been on the show many times. We get a chance to really kick this around here for a couple of minutes. Ariel, how you been, buddy? What's happening?
Not much, guys. How are you? Thank you for having me back on the show.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. So there's a couple of things to unpack here with Conor, including a report that just came out. This was in the New York Times. This was within the last hour or so, that Conor's under investigation for an alleged sexual assault in his native Ireland. What do you know about this? And to your knowledge, is this any motivation for him stepping away at this point?
From what I'm told, the investigation has nothing to do with his announcement earlier this morning, very, very early this morning, around 1 a.m. Eastern time, that he was going to walk away from the sport. I did get a statement from his spokesperson, who told me that, quote, "this story has been circulating for some time and it is unclear why it is being reported now." This story, the one that the Times is reporting, has been rumored in social media circles, but no credible outlet has reported it. She went on to say the assumption that the Conor retirement announcement today is related to this rumor is absolutely false. Should Conor fight in the future, it must be in an environment where fighters are respected for their value, their skill, their hard work, and their dedication to the sport. I asked a follow-up if the details in the New York Times report were accurate, and I did not get a response back to that question. It has been quite the day.
Yeah, no, and from what I read a little bit about this too, Ariel, because of the Irish laws where you can't report rape suspects unless you're absolutely sure or they've been convicted. Otherwise, you face libel charges. So, I mean, nobody wants to go out on a limb, but United States and New York Times, because they're across the pond, they don't really care. They'll report it. That's beside the point. What is this a negotiating ploy for Conor McGregor? We saw this in 2016 with the Nate Diaz McGregor 2 negotiation back in 2016. It ultimately happened and it worked because it was a lucrative deal for Conor. What do we think is at play here?
Well, you know, so I think there's a bit of revisionist history because I've heard other people bring this up as well. Back in 2016, the Nate Diaz rematch was signed, sealed, and delivered. It was a done deal. There was no public negotiation involved there. Mm-hmm. The issue why he decided to retire then was because they wanted him to come to Las Vegas for a pre-fight press conference in April to promote the fight, promote that tickets were going
on
sale.
That's right.
And a friend of his fought a Brazilian fighter in Ireland and beat him. And a few days later, unfortunately, that Brazilian fighter died. And Conor was there and witnessed it and felt very uncomfortable about the whole thing and was very bothered by it and didn't feel comfortable traveling to Las Vegas to promote a fight after he essentially just witnessed another man die in the sport that he competes in. And so he asked for some time to regroup and to get his life and his thoughts back together. And they didn't want to do that. They had this press conference plan. So that's when he said, "I'm out of here." And eventually they ended up figuring it out. This time around, it's different because they are at odds. He doesn't feel like he is being respected. He said recently he didn't want to be in the co-main event of the July 6th card. And Dana White has said, you know, he's not a champion, so champions have to headline over non-champions, which I think is a very silly stance because we all know Conor is the most popular fighter in the history of the sport. So he's been frustrated. The pay-per-view structure has changed very recently because ESPN Plus is now the exclusive home of pay-per-view, so that changes perhaps the piece of the pie that he gets. So there's a lot going on here, and I think he reached a breaking point late yesterday.
Yeah, how much does the UFC need Conor McGregor or another star to emerge, and for Conor's standpoint, to reemerge because it feels like the interest in the MMA community is large as it's ever been. But the mainstream, it's fallen a little bit, right?
I said something earlier today on a different show where I said, you know, Conor, the UFC needs Conor more than Conor needs the UFC. And I think people just kind of listen to that and don't really understand what I'm trying to say. Of course, you know, if Conor never fights again, the UFC is not going under. They're not going bankrupt.
Yeah.
That being said, who is more valuable to who in this relationship? I think Conor is more valuable to the UFC because Conor is by far the bigger draw. He's the biggest draw in the history of the sport. He's the biggest face. He is a bigger draw as an entity, as a brand, than the UFC is right now. More people in this world know who Conor McGregor is as opposed to those three letters, the UFC. Now, in 5 years, that will change. But right now, this guy has a lot of money. He made a lot of money against Floyd. He made a lot of money against Khabib. His whiskey business, by all accounts, is doing quite well. So he feels like he doesn't have to play their game. And when he hears, yesterday Dana White did an interview where he said that they weren't interested in booking the trilogy fight against Nate Diaz. And that's a fight that he wants. He wants that fight next. And when he hears that, he gets frustrated because in the world of boxing, no one is telling the top draws who they're going to fight and when they're going to fight. No one is telling Floyd, you must fight on this date against this guy. He decides when he's going to fight. And so I think he gets frustrated about that as well. He feels like he is kind of bigger than everything, and some might argue that he is, that it's all very deserved. So he's kind of challenging the institution right now, and the UFC is trying to say, like, no, you know, you're going to play by our rules.
Mm-hmm. Ariel Helwani is with us here, ESPN UFC reporter. The Conor McGregor stuff is really interesting. And the, you know, we mentioned Dana White's name before. You know, his leadership style, abrasive, brash, a little bold in your face. It's certainly worked so far. You think there's an expiration point? Because I feel like the more, and we've had Dana on. He hung up on me. Remember that, Tiki? He hung up on me. He's getting more and more aggressive, or maybe he's
Why did he hang up on you?
I don't even know. It was actually pretty benign.
Because BT was asking about John Jones's suspension and whether or not he deserved to be reinstated or something like that.
And he answered and I had to ask him again because it was a non-answer, and he hung up. And we got a little contentious. But whatever, that happened. I could care. That doesn't bother me at all. My point is, as I see him on bigger shows and his portfolio and platforms have grown exponentially, is Dana White still long for this? Like, do you think there's a resistance, an undercurrent of resistance toward Dana White, or is his leadership still good to go and everybody accepts him?
Well, guess what? He just signed a new 7-year deal to stick around as president of the UFC. So clearly the owners of the UFC Endeavor feel like he is valuable. And when they bought the company in 2016, they signed him to a 5-year deal, so now he's signed a new 7-year deal. So he's going to be sticking around for at least the duration of the ESPN deal that they recently extended. Look, Dana is the greatest promoter in the history of mixed martial arts. Is he as popular as he was 10 years ago? I don't believe so. I think you've seen a lot more fighters and fans kind of speak up against him. You know, he's had some missteps here and there. But he is still, you know, one of the faces of the sport and certainly one of the faces of the UFC. Does he have the same passion for MMA promotion as he used to? I don't believe so. I don't feel it from him. When he does interviews, when he talks about, you know, the upcoming fights at press conferences, it's not the same from my point of view. And I think that's in large part due to the fact that he's very rich now.
You know? He doesn't have to sell it as hard. People
exactly.
are buying it.
Yeah.
And he won the war. He made hundreds of millions of dollars off of this sale. He's a very, very rich man. His great grandchildren are going to be rich, and he doesn't need to pound the pavement. He doesn't get fired up over the things that he used to get fired up about. So that being said, is a 50% Dana White better than, you know, 100% of some other suit? Probably for the casual fan. But I don't think, like, for example, if Dana retired today, I don't think the UFC goes under. I think that they would be good without him. But, you know, they obviously still think that he's very valuable.
Yeah, let me get into a couple of competition stuff things. The flyweight division is under peril, it seems. Demetrius Johnson, they traded to a rival, or I use that word loosely, traded to a rival competition over in Asia. What's going to happen with the lower levels of the UFC, meaning weight levels?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it seems like they've been phasing out the flyweights, that they've been either releasing guys or telling them that they have to move up to 135. The champion right now is Henry Cejudo. He's Olympic gold medalist. At the time was the youngest Olympic gold medalist. in freestyle wrestling from the United States. A very charismatic guy, and recently knocked out TJ Dillashaw and is probably going to move up to 135 in his next fight. But he wants to keep the division alive. Obviously, he's the champion there. And, you know, a lot of the fighters want to keep it alive, but the UFC feels like there's just not enough money to be made. I think it's a mistake. I think they've got 43 shows this year. They need as many champions and as many divisions as they can get. And they have someone that is actually connecting with the people right now in Henry Cejudo. He's trilingual. He's, like I said, he's charismatic. He's great. He's got the, you know, the Olympic pedigree behind him. I don't understand why there's this need to phase out the division. It was hard to sell it when Demetrius Johnson was champion for whatever reason. But now I think they've got something really special in Henry. So perhaps they'll rethink this. But yeah, TJ Dillashaw was the 135-pound champion, and he just got suspended for a year by the New York State Athletic Commission for a drug test that he failed prior to their fight in January. So it hasn't been the best week or so for MMA. Yeah. There's been great fights in between, but there's obviously been some unfortunate headlines as well.
Yeah, Ariel, one more question before we let you go here. There are a couple of competitors. The one championship, as I was mentioning too, that Demetrius Johnson is now fighting with. Obviously, Bellator, the competitors in the MMA world to UFC, are they gaining any traction?
Like you said, there's PFL, Professional Fighters League, that actually just signed its own deal with ESPN, and they'll debut in May. There's Bellator that's owned by Viacom. There is some options out there. There are some options out there, I should say, and there's some interesting ones. But there is a big gap between the UFC, you know, talent pool and the other talent pool. I try to think sometimes, like, what's the best analogy, and the best that I could come up with is, I don't know, maybe NFL, CFL, and I don't even think that that's the best one. Maybe like FIBA and the NBA.
I got one for you. How about old WWF and GLOW, the gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
No.
It's closer than that.
WWF and WCW is a great one, but I just didn't know if your audience would understand what the hell I was talking about there. But that is the perfect. But by the way, people want to compare MMA, UFC to other sports all day long. The way this sport is structured is much more like pro wrestling, where you have like one organization, you can't fight for anyone else. It's much more like pro wrestling than anything else. I just know that, you know, MMA fans get a little hot under the collar when I make the pro wrestling analogy.
Yeah, so understandably why, you know, one's real, one's not.
Well, from a business perspective, we know what you're talking about, not a competition perspective.
Yeah. Right, right.
Gotcha. All right, Ariel, we appreciate you.
Thanks for setting us straight, buddy.
Hey, go Knicks.
Attaboy.
Hey, we're getting KD. We're getting Kyrie, baby. Jump on the bandwagon now, Brandon.
Joe, I established it. I established it 7 months ago. I said Durant's coming to the Big
Apple.
You're
a hater.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. This guy.
He's walking away from Kyrie now, though.
Ariel.
I don't know if I blame him.
Yeah, I might want Kemba. A little bit too much drama with Kyrie. I'm not a hater. I am a reactor. And I react to what I see. And when the Knicks serve up slop, as they have for about 20 years.
Bring back Melo.
I'm getting stopped. Goodbye. Goodbye. Bring back Melo. Get rid of him. Clip him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.